Accession number 21734, Wheel 1.
It is the 27th of May 2001, and the 60th anniversary of the sinking of the German battleship Bismarck. Unable to attend the reunion, I thought I would record what I could remember of that event, which I am sure may differ considerably from the film Sink the Bismarck and the book by C.S. Forrester. I am XDMX48890, Chief Electrical Artificer John Wheeler, BEM. In May 1941, I was 24 years old and an electrical artificer serving on the 10,000-ton county-class cruiser Dorsetshire, having been on her since July 1937. Our captain, B.C.S. Martin, was, like me, an ex-Greenwich Hospital schoolboy, now the National Maritime Museum at Greenwich. We had left Freetown, escorting a slow northbound convoy of merchant ships, when we heard the unbelievable news of the loss of the Hood in action against the Bismarck. To those of us in the Navy, whether or not we had served on her, it was almost like losing someone in the family. We were kept aware of the drama which unfolded as the Bismarck was shadowed, lost, found again, abortive attacks by destroyers and aircraft, and the feeling that she was going to escape and make for Brest, as more and more of our ships had to retire from the hunt due to shortage of fuel. In the event of the 26th, we heard on the ship's tannoy, this is the captain speaking, and the gist of what he says is still relatively clear in my memory. Namely, if my calculations are correct, and we leave the convoy steaming at high speed, we should intercept the Bismarck at about 9 a.m. tomorrow. We may be the only ship there, and we must all remember what we have been taught and trained for, so that we can inflict the maximum amount of damage on her with our 8-inch and 4-inch guns against her overwhelming gun superiority. Good luck. It was not a very comforting thought as the inevitable conclusion sunk in. The ship's chapel became much busier for those able to attend. The weather had worsened, and as the ship's speed increased through very heavy seas, it became most uncomfortable. My action stations was in the main switchboard, deep in the bowels of the ship, with a smell of oil fill as rivets sprung a leak. As the captain predicted, at about 9 a.m. the following morning, gunfire in the distance could be heard, so we were not alone as we all feared. By about 11 a.m. we closed in and fired two torpedoes into one side of the blazing Bismarck and one into the other. I was grateful that the torpedoes ran true, as I had tabled their gyros in the dry dock in Simonstown on our last visit. This was a process taking the gyros and testing their performance through a servo motor controlling the torpedoes' rudders and then replacing them in the torpedoes. The order came, cease firing and pick up survivors. I raced onto the upper deck to see the Bismarck sinking and the raging seas, a mass of bobbing heads as the survivors made for the Dorsetshire. Scrambling necks were lowered and survivors hauled aboard through being hove to. They could almost step on board 1 second and then about almost under the keel the next, in mountainous seas. As I recall the situation, one of the first survivors picked up was a German officer who, I understand, had prior to the war been a naval attaché in London. He asked to be taken to the bridge to see the captain. There he advised our captain to get underway to avoid further loss of life, as U-boats and aircraft were expected. The nets were cut adrift and we got underway. And what a dreadful sight it was to see all the remaining survivors left to their fate and to hear their screams. as within 11 months after, I too spent 30 hours in the water in the Indian Ocean after the Dorset ship was sunk by a Japanese aircraft, I still recall what those sailors, enemies or not, must have felt. We had picked up about 96 men out of the over 2,000 crew of the Bismarck. The German officer apparently told our captain that the Bismarck was heading for Brest and safety when she had detected the Dorsetshire coming up from the south. As we were kept out of the water, high out of the water, they thought we were a capital ship and turned about to avoid us and brought about the final action. Altering our camouflage to avoid recognition by enemy aircraft, we proceeded through the Bay of Biscay and the western approaches, round through the Pentland Firth, and finally to Palmer's Yard at Heaven in the Tyne. The sides of the river were lined with cheering workmen, as the 1 o'clock BBC News had announced, "It is now known that HMS Dorsetshire has sunk the Bismarck." The triumphant homecoming was also recorded on Pathé News Gazette and shown in the cinemas. As soon as we had tied up, the prisoners of war were taken off by armed guard en route to prisoner of war camps. Our captain, I understand, was relieved of his command to conform with Admiralty traditions for leaving his convoy, promoted to Rear Admiral and awarded the DSO. Captain Agar VC took over, but the atmosphere was not the same. Captain Martin was well liked and the crew would have followed him anywhere, having extreme confidence in his skills and ability. I believe he died not long after.
My time is God's harvest, its fruits are the words of God. God ploughed his fields at morning, God sowed his seed at noon, God reaped and gathered in his corn with the rising of the moon. The sun rose up at midnight, the sun rose red as blood. It showed the reaper, the dead Christ, upon his cross alone. God ploughed his fields at morning, God sowed his seed at noon, God reaped and gathered in his corn with the rising of the moon. I wandered alone in a strange land, and life was so dark and drear, when the sound of a voice seemed to call me and brought to my mind a memory dear. It told of the joy and the gladness that comes from the One above. O Lord, hear our prayer, take away all our care and fill all our hearts with love. The sound of solemn chanting was borne to me from afar, and the song seemed to draw me closer like the light of a guiding star. I turned from out the highway to the minster old and grey, and the voices swelled in welcome for a stranger come to pray. My soul was enthralled by the message that came from those voices clear, and my heart found a shelter and comfort from the pain of this world so dark and drear. I knew then the joy and the gladness as I prayed to the One above. O Lord, hear our prayer, take away all our and fill all our hearts with love. O Lord, have mercy upon all those who pray to Thee, our Father, who heareth us this day. O Lord, have mercy upon all those who pray. O Lord, hear our prayer, take away all